Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Crazy Old Man in His Own Attic, episode 68. Wilbon, we're going to start with the NFL, and bear with me, this is a little bit complicated. In the last 24 hours, the NFL owners have tabled two proposals for rule changes. One for the Sky judge, they didn't want to vote on it, and one for the, instead of an onside kick, getting the option, if you want, to have a 4th and 15 play from your own 25. If you make it, you keep the ball. If you miss it, you turn the ball over. But what the NFL has done in a modification of replay, trying to get the calls right, they're going to allow a replay official on site to, if he thinks that's a bad call, to say, let's look at it in conjunction with a referee on the field. It's not the Sky judge, but it's a chance for review. Of all of these things I've mentioned, which appeals to you, which does not?
None of it appeals to me. I don't want to see 4th and 15. I just don't care. That's just gimmicky. It's stupid gimmicky. It ought to be beyond or beneath the National Football League. I don't like it. So we'll go to the Sky judge, something that the NFL could do something about. But it appears, Tony, that this, I always talk about the NFL's arrogance. And I understand how arrogance comes about. You've got a superior product. The NFL does. But when it comes to tweaking the product, they won't do anything. They'll say, oh, no, we're going to show you our way is the best way, even when their way is not the best way. The best way is college football's way, in which interrupting the game doesn't mean you delay the game. The NFL could adopt this. They could get it right. They don't want to get it right. They've even got the consultant, which helped set it up for college football, and they don't give a damn. They're going to say, oh, no, we're going to do it our way. We're going to get this our way, Tony. Please. It annoys the hell out of me that they can't get it right by saying somebody else has the right methodology.
So I'm going to agree with you on one and disagree with you on another. The one I will agree with you on is they should immediately have a Sky judge. They should have somebody with full authority in the stadium to say, that's a bad call. We are reversing it right now. I don't know why they don't do that. I don't know why they want to make it collaborative. I don't know why they want to bring in 3 or 4 different people. One guy with authority. You know, the way it works now with a Thursday night game and a Monday night game, you only need 15 people. I'm sure there are 15 former officials who are good that you could hire to do that. Where I will disagree with you is on the 4th and 15. They have taken the guts out of the onside's kick. It only works about 10% of the time. 3rd and 15 and 4th and 15 works 17% of the time. This is an all-or-nothing play. This is an elimination play because you could lose the ball at your own 25 and be very vulnerable to a score. I really like this idea. I don't know why you don't like this idea. Whether it's gimmicky or not, it's tremendously exciting, and they should adopt that one. They should.
Anything could be exciting. Then put 22 players against 11 for one play, and that would be tremendously exciting.
No.
Put the guts
fourth
back
and 15,
in the
Mike,
onside
you've
kick,
just
Tony.
Scored. You have just scored. Momentum is in your favor. You're feeling good about yourself, and you want to see if you can go down the field in a hurry. I like the idea. I don't know what they're afraid of with that one, and it's also safer than an onside kick. So I don't understand why they don't want it.
They don't. You know, it's funny. You like the NFL. You out of one side of your mouth, you give me safety, and then you give me let's add 2 more games. The hypocrisy of that is
I didn't give you any of that. Hold
you
it.
You do all the time.
Hold
you
it.
Say extra games.
Hold it.
You say 2 extra games.
I said get rid of all exhibition games. You don't want anybody hurting an exhibition game, and expand the schedule to 18. I'm fine with that. Don't bring in more opportunity to hurt people.
And you think the same? You think opportunities are the same between an exhibition game and 2 regular season games? Those opportunities aren't the same. Safeguarding health is not the same.
And I think you expand the roster. I'll wait for you to be done.
Go ahead.
I think you expand the roster, and I think you only allow people to play in 16 games, and then you bring in strategy, which helps the smarter coaches because they know how to husband their resources. So there.
Or you just have 16 games. How about that? Now, This will make you happy because the lead starts with Max Scherzer. It's in your boy Max Scherzer.
Love him.
Who's a member of the Baseball Players Union Powerful Executive Committee, tweeted last night that players will not engage with the owners anymore on the issue of pay cuts. But according to Jeff Passan, the players will reportedly make a counterproposal to the owners, Tony, by the end of this week. Are these good signs, bad signs, or just what we call negotiating?
I think it's negotiating. I think even when you say the following five things are non-negotiable, you have made a negotiation. I think both sides are going to have to move. I think money is more important than cold tubs, and money is more important than spitting and stuff like that. Max Scherzer is a godlike figure to me on the baseball field. He also makes a tremendous amount of money, and I don't know how many people relate to Max Scherzer in the rank and file and are going to follow what Max Scherzer has to say. He's also represented by Scott Boras, who seems to be taking a lead position here that angered Trevor Bauer, who is a gadfly, but sometimes makes a lot of sense. But if you're asking me what's going on, I would say this is negotiation, yes.
I'd say it's negotiation. We talked about this for how many days in a row, and we will talk about it, and we should, Tony. It's a big deal, but it's negotiating. You know, the owners came in with their proposal, and the players said, oh, my God, we're not having that. And the players are going to shoot back their proposal apparently by the end of the week. And the owners are going to say, oh, my God, we're not going to have any of that. And Scott Boras is going to stir it up on behalf of his clients, you know, no matter what. And there'll be some people like Trevor Bauer, who you said, will go, my God, can he just take care of his clients and leave the rest of us alone? That's the mix in baseball. We see it every time, Tony, there is a negotiation between management and labor. This is not going to be any different, except I think you and I both think that after all the huffing and puffing is done, that they will get on the field because the consequences are too great for not getting on the field. Am I right about that presumption?
Well, I mean, the people that we respect, like Richard Justice and Bob Nightingale, believe that they're going to get on the field. I don't know that they can go 80 games or now 100 games so that they get more of their money. I don't know that everybody can keep safe. But I think you look at Japan and you look at Korea and you look at China and you say to yourself, if you're a baseball player, let's try. Let's try to get out there and get on the field. The difference with this negotiation, Mike, is that it's not November or December and there's not four or 5 months to go. If they want to start and get 80 in or 100 in, they got to start in July. And we're almost in June. So probably within the next 10 days, wouldn't you think they got to have something?
Yeah.
I would think.
Yeah. Gotta
Let
get
me
it
move
done.
On. Adam Schefter of ESPN is reporting that Jadeveon Clowney, your boy, has balked at an offer from the Cleveland Browns. He has balked previously in this offseason at offers from Seattle and Tennessee. He wanted $20 million a year, and then he said, well, maybe I would $20 a year. I've got to assume nobody is offering him $17 million a year, which leads to this question. Is he overvaluing himself or are teams undervaluing him?
Three sacks. That's the extent of my statistical study on Mr. Clowney. Three sacks last year. You know, if he was playing inside, Tony, if he's playing tackle, you could say, okay, three sacks, he's probably a run stuffer. No, the payoff at that position when you are playing defensive end, essentially, or outside linebacker, either whatever you want to call it, you got to get after the quarterback and you got to put the quarterback down. Not hard, because that's not allowed anymore, but you got to put him down. And so, Tony, no, I mean, look, he doesn't have to sign with Cleveland. People could take a lower offer if they want. People do that occasionally, depending on whether or not they get to be on a legitimate contender. But no, Tony, he's overvaluing himself, it would seem to me.
Yeah, let's go back in the career of Jadeveon Clowney. The highlight, in the same way that this is the highlight of the entire Jets franchise, the highlight of Jadeveon Clowney happened when he was in college at the Outback Bowl, when he took that Michigan kid and decked him like a sack of potatoes. And as a result of that, Mike, he became the number one overall draft choice. And if you're the number one overall draft choice, you got to be closer to Lawrence Taylor than Jadeveon Clowney is. Three sacks last year, Mike, 6 years... He's got 32 sacks. What is that? That's not $20 million a year.
No.
And, Mike, they've got film on him. He didn't just come into the league. He's been there for a long time. So no, he is overvaluing himself. We're in agreement on that one, right?
Yeah, Tony. And by the way, I'm not going to say he's a bust because he can be a productive player. He has been productive. But 20 million, I mean, you know, I need some more productivity for 20 million. I do. That's right. That's right. Tony, Korean baseball, which you mentioned earlier, and the Bundesliga soccer have experimented with artificial crowd noise on their broadcasts, as I think you know. But our old employer, the Washington Post, reports that Japanese soccer will soon experiment with an app that allows fans to cheer or boo or send personal messages with their smartphones. Unlike those other leagues, the noise will be played in the stadiums, not just on the broadcast tone, so the players can hear it in real time. You a fan of this?
Big fan of this. Like to have noise in the stadium. Like to be able to sit where I'm sitting, 2,000 miles from the stadium, press a little button, and have noise come out in the ears of the players. Like, I'm troubled with technology. I call up companies. They don't even answer. I scream representative, representative. Nobody answers. I'd like to hit an app that would get me to a real live person. My concerns here are if you're cursing, are you allowed? Are you allowed to curse, or did the app police come over to your house and say no? If you yell and scream, Joe Smith, you stink. You're not worth the money. My dog kicks it better than you. Is somebody going to come and say you can't say that because he can hear you and you're not there? But in general, I love the idea. Don't you?
No, more gimmicks. At least I'm consistent. I don't like gimmicks. And I don't like apps intruding on my reality. No, stop trying to, you know, you're trying to curry favor now with the under 40 set. And they're just laughing at you because they know you don't know anything about apps. You don't want
apps on this thing. Apps.
Well, I got more apps than you. Yours are just an order for appetizers is all your button does. Tony, anytime you try to insert apps, and by the way, they'll just give you a limited number of responses you can engage in. They're not going to let you create your own sentences.
Why
they'll
not?
Let you say,
I thought
yay,
you could have a personal
or
message
boo,
for the
or
goalie.
Politely do something. It's junk.
Get off
you
my lawn.
You know it's junk.
Stuff
be
like
an
that.
Old man. Be what you are. Stay in your lane. Huh? Good.
Once Type again, down. Representative, representative.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Got the glasses, got the legal pad, got the happies ready to go. Happy 63rd birthday, Kirk Gibson. Gibson played both football and baseball at Michigan State. He was an All-American wide receiver and was ultimately chosen to the College Football Hall of Fame. He played only 1 year of baseball, but he was so good the Detroit Tigers drafted him in the first round, and he chose baseball. He won one World Series with the Tigers and one with the Dodgers. He played for great managers, Sparky Anderson, Tommy Lasorda, and Gibson himself was Manager of the Year with Arizona in 2011. But the video you are waiting for are from two significant World Series homers, one of which is among the most famous in baseball history. The first is a 3-1, three-run shot of Goose Gossage in Game 5 in 1984, which clinched the series for the Tigers. The next is the walk-off, two-run shot of Dennis Eckersley that won Game 1 in the 1988 World Series. It's the one where Gibson comes up to the plate on one leg, hits it out, and the world hears Jack Buck say, "I don't believe what I just saw."
Yeah, Tony, I don't have a horse in any of those races, but that home run for the Dodgers, I mean, that's up there. I mean, I know Joe Carter had an unbelievably famous home run. You can go back to Mazeroski, but in my lifetime, I'm going to put Kirk Gibson's home run right up there. And Tony, I think I saw him play a college football game in person, Edmonton, I think.
He must have been a great football player. Happy anniversary, Clay Thompson. On this day 4 years ago, the other Splash brother dropped 41 points, including an NBA playoff record 11 threes to lead the Warriors to a comeback 108-101 win over Oklahoma City in Game 6 of the Western Conference Finals, evening that series at 3-3. The Thunder had been up 3-1 in the series, and their collapse led to Kevin Durant leaving Oklahoma City and signing with Golden State, proving the adage, if you can't beat them, join them. Durant gave the Warriors three unstoppable offensive players, him, Steph Curry, and Thompson, who once scored 37 points in one quarter against Sacramento. The Warriors won two straight titles with those three and may well have won the third had Durant not gotten injured in last year's playoffs. Durant then moved on to the Nets. Both he and Thompson missed this entire season with injuries.
Yeah, Tony, you know, I've thought that Scottie Pippen, as great as he is underrated. And of his generation, he and Gary Payton were the most underrated, two of the most underrated guys in that generation. In this generation, it's Klay Thompson, despite the things that we see like this. Tony, Klay Thompson wasn't even on that recent, you know, top 74 players of all time. No Klay Thompson. You know what? Somebody's got to come off that list for me, and Klay Thompson has to go on to that list. He's on the top 50 of all time, as far as I'm concerned. He'd make the cut. He would make my cut with fewer players than that.
I'm glad you think Gary Payton is underrated. Michael Jordan dismissed him. Just said, get out of here. Happy like trails him. To this year's Basketball Hall of Fame enshrinement ceremony. The ceremony has been pushed to the spring of 2021 because of the coronavirus pandemic. Jerry Colangelo, chairman of the Board of Governors for the Hall, said that the original weekend date of August 28th to 30th and the alternate weekend date of October 10th through 12th, quote, are just not feasible, unquote. This is one of the more star-studded classes. Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett, Rudy Tomjanovich, Kim Mulkey, Tamika Catchings, and the posthumous inductions of Kobe Bryant and Eddie Sutton. Colangelo said the 2020 class will not be combined with the class of 2021. They will have separate enshrinements in the calendar year 2021. One small personal note, Mr. Michael Ray Wilbon is a member of the class of 2020, but with this delay comes the obvious question. Wilbon, are you concerned the Hall will reconsider?
They can reconsider me all they want. That's fine. They're not going to reconsider that illustrious group that you mentioned, Tony. I know I'm excited for whenever it is. It didn't seem that August was possible ever to me, and I didn't think October was going to be either. Whenever they do it, people will assemble and they will honor the above mentioned group. And I can't wait for that whenever they decide that it's feasible to do so.
I only care that they're honoring you. I don't care about the others. Just you.
I'll take the others. You can honor me in your backyard. One of your many backyards. We'll hoist a cup of something. And we'll take it from there.
You'll smoke a cigar. You're in the cigar phase of your
life. I've gotten into that now. I've had my first cigar. We'll get into that later, too.
Very exciting.
But not now.
Cross the threshold into cigar world.
You like that, huh?
I do.